Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's that time of day, that time of the week, time for Critter of the Week. This week's critter is found all over the country, but they're so small you may actually miss them unless you look very, very, very closely. Joining us this afternoon is wildlife and environmental writer Alan Rikers to talk about the common square-ended crab spider. Hi, Alan.
Kia ora, thanks for having me.
Great to have you on this afternoon's program. Now, this week, we're finding out about the common square-ended crab spider. Tell us more.
Yeah, so I think this is a really great gateway spider, if there are any people who are a little bit unsure about our spiders out there, because they're really tiny. The females are only about 12 millimeters long, and the males can be like half the size of that. So they're really small, and they're also found right across New Zealand, from down south in Stewart Island and all the way up to Northland, and they're often found in people's backyards. So they're one that you can go out and find and say hello to. And their name, the common square-ended crab spider, which is quite a mouthful.
It's quite a mouthful.
The square-ended refers to, they do have quite a sort of boxy booty compared to the normal sort of round backside of a spider. And then they're apparently called a crab spider because they can shuffle sideways like a crab does.
Are there many other crab spiders, just so we don't get confused with the square-ended versus anything else?
Yeah, there are a lot of crab spiders found around the world, so about more than 2,000 species around the world. And here in New Zealand, we have 4 crab spiders that are only found in New Zealand. And we do also have a couple of Australian imports as well that have come across in the last 80 years or so. But those 4 that are only found here, we think that they diverged from their Aussie cousins about 5 million years ago, so they've been here for a pretty long time.
And just scientifically, how do we refer to them with their Latin name?
Right, so that's, excuse my pronunciation, I have no idea if this is correct, but Sidimella angularis. I'm guessing the angularis refers again to that sort of square end on the spiders, which if you look at it from above, it looks a bit like a trapezium.
I love it. Do we know why it's got that shape?
I'm not sure about that, but we do know that their sort of colours, that they're quite sort of drab looking, to be honest, sort of browns, greys, bit of yellow in there maybe, and we know that that colouring is to help them blend in with the things that they live on, which is often leaf litter, or they love a dried up fern frond. So if you're a tiny wee spider, good to blend in and try to hide from things that might want to eat you.
Absolutely. Being drab can keep you safe. So what do we know about their habitat exactly? Do these spiders, for example, ever come inside?
Well, I can't guarantee that they won't come inside, but if they do, you don't have to worry about them because they're really tiny, and you know, if they do bite, it won't cause anything apart from minor discomfort. So the only things that have to worry about a crab spider are the things that eat it, that get eaten by it. So that's things like tiny little flying insects that might come down and land on a fern frond, and there'll be the crab spider waiting there for them because they're an ambush predator. So they can sit there for days or even weeks waiting for something to come along. And then they have these really long front legs, which are quite sort of spiny, and they'll grab on to their prey and latch onto it. And then they inject their poison, and then once the prey is dead, they will actually suck it completely dry and just leave this sort of husk behind.
It's quite an effort, isn't it? I wouldn't want to be tinier than a crab spider. Now, question, where exactly are they found in Aotearoa, New Zealand?
They are all across the country, so all the way from Northland down to Stewart Island, for the common species at least. And you can find them in your backyard or in native forest. So if you have a rummage through the leaf litter in your backyard, you could very well find a crab spider.
Now, you mentioned that they came from Australia 5 million years ago. What do we know about their cousins, and do we know anything about that journey? It wasn't the Tasman Sea that they had to cross 5 million years ago.
Well, one theory for how they got here, because it is a pretty long way for a tiny little spider to come all the way from Australia. So we do know that spiders can do this thing called ballooning, which is basically where the young spiderlings will put out a whole bunch of their silk and keep putting it out until it gets caught by the wind. And then they essentially sort of parachute across. If they catch the right weather system, they can make it all the way from Australia to New Zealand. So you can imagine all of these tiny little spiders with these long strands of silk being sort of swept across in the wind currents.
That's quite beautiful, isn't it? What do we know about ballooning, spiders ballooning these days in current time?
It definitely does happen today. But yeah, I'm not sure whether we are seeing any, you know, new spider species ballooning across from Australia. It is quite a beautiful image, or, you know, it could be the premise of a horror story if you're not partial to spiders, having them descend from the skies. But there are some quite interesting relatives of crab spiders around the world. So they're related to flower spiders, which rather than sitting on a brown fern frond, they might sit on a beautifully coloured flower. And so to blend in, they will have these quite bright colours. And in China, they've actually found a flower spider species which has both the male and female working together to camouflage themselves on a flower. So one will look like one part of the flower, and then the female might look like the petals, and then the male might look like the flower's stamen, and so they kind of work together to blend in to their flower habitat.
Oh, that sounds really lovely. Now, what do we know about crab spider family life?
Right, so they don't actually make webs because they're an ambush predator, but they do make the silk for ballooning or for making egg sacs. So the female will attach her eggs to the underside of a dead leaf, and then she'll kind of sit there and make sure that no one comes along and eats them.
Good move. Very good move. In terms of appearance, let's talk about their legs and why they look so different to other spiders. What's that design about?
Right. So as I mentioned, they have these quite long forelegs, which is also some people think might be another reason for them getting the name crab spider, because it's kind of like the pincers on a crab, and they're quite sort of knobbled, and that's for latching onto their prey and getting a good hold of it. And they actually have this habit of playing dead when they are disturbed. So they'll tuck in all their legs, including those big long forelegs, and then because they're quite sort of gnarled and brown, they just sort of look like a bit of leaf litter or a bit of debris. So that's quite good camouflage.
Absolutely, camouflage looking and camouflage behaviour. When we think about a crab spider, what is their life expectancy?
I'm not sure, sorry.
That's okay. There's also some notes around the female crab spider being larger than the male. What do we know about that?
That's actually quite common in some spiders and other invertebrates for the female to be larger than the male. And In some spiders, the female might actually eat or attempt to eat the male after they have mated, but I have no idea whether that happens in crab spiders.
Have you found crab spiders at your place, Alan?
I personally haven't, but I haven't been looking, and I think you have to probably go looking for something that's only 12 millimeters long. But yeah, I definitely would check out the leaf litter in the backyard and see if there are any crab spiders.
And when it comes to attractiveness, and this is, of course, a key feature in Critter of the Week, could you please rate the attractiveness of the crab spider?
Look, pretty drab colors, interesting shape, but overall not the prettiest of spiders or of critters. So I'm going to give it a 2 out of 10.
Ooh, a 2 out of 10. Okay. Primarily because it's so drab, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's quite small, so in that sense it could be considered a little bit cuter, but generally, I think with these critters of the week, the uglier the better. And I think these guys are, yeah, kind of a bit under the radar, bit knobbly, bit drab. 2 out of 10.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Alan. Have a wonderful weekend.
No worries. Cool. Thank
I'm
you
going to
very
go
much.
looking for them. Yeah, you too.
Yeah.
Take good care.
Alrighty.
Thanks, Alan.
Bye.
Alan Rikers with our Critter of the Week, the square-ended crab spider. Would you have given them 2 out of 10? I know. I'm not sure about that. Just, I don't know.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.